Turn with me in your Bibles, please, for our first reading to Psalms 128 and 129. Psalm 128, verse 1, hear now the inerrant, infallible, and inspired Word of God, a song of degrees. Blessed is everyone that feareth the Lord, that walketh in His ways, for thou shalt eat of the labor of thine hands. Happy shalt thou be, and it shall be well with thee. Thy wife shall be as a fruitful vine by the sides of thine house, thy children like olive plants round about thy table. Behold, that thus shall the man be blessed that feareth the Lord. The Lord shall bless thee out of Zion, and thou shalt see the good of Jerusalem all the days of thy life. Yea, thou shalt see thy children's children, and peace be upon Israel. Psalm 129, a song of degrees. Many a time have they afflicted me from my youth, may Israel now say. Many a time have they afflicted me from my youth, yet they have not prevailed against me. The plowers plowed upon my back, they made long their furrows. The Lord is righteous, he hath cut asunder the cords of the wicked. Let them all be confounded and turned back that hate Zion. Let them be as the grass upon the housetops, which withereth before it, or afore it grow up, it groweth up, wherewith the mower filleth not his hand, nor he that bindeth sheaves his bosom. Neither do they which go by say, the blessing of the Lord be upon you. We bless you in the name of the Lord. May God add his blessing to the reading and to the hearing of his most holy word. So, the flow then of these songs of degrees only confirms us in our understanding that Psalm 127, as we heard last hour, belongs to the category of psalms not speaking particularly of domestic things, but of ecclesiastical. Following directly upon that, we do have a psalm that speaks more to domestic things rather than ecclesiastical. Rather than having these two psalms in a row, one would say one thing with regard to domestic things, and then the second one would repeat those. I think what we have is we have an ecclesiastical in 127, a churchly psalm, speaking about the house that the Lord builds, as we said. And then here then we move on in the second half to begin with something of a more domestic flavor. And so now we hear about the blessing of the Lord upon the families of those who call upon His name. First of all, what does it mean to fear the Lord? Blessed is everyone that feareth the Lord and that walketh in His ways. What does it mean to fear the Lord? Well, first of all, we understand that it is the path to blessing, right? From the human side, that is, fearing the Lord is the path to blessing. Blessed is everyone that feareth the Lord. So, whenever we hear that's the way of blessing, then the next question we ought to ask is, what does it mean to fear the Lord? Well, it means to obey Him, to believe in Him, to call upon His name, that is, to depend upon Him. It means to believe in Him and to believe Him, both, right? To have confidence in Him, and then to believe Him when He speaks, without the preposition there. To believe in Him and to believe Him. Both things are necessary. It means to obey Him. It means to repudiate all other loyalties. And then it also means to walk in His ways. That's what it means to fear the Lord. It doesn't mean that we are shaking in our boots or that we have this slavish fear of the Lord. It is a reverent fear of sons pertaining to the Lord or toward the Lord at all times. For thou shalt eat the labor of thine hands, happy shalt thou be, and it shall be well with thee. Part of the blessing that the Lord promises to those that fear Him is that they shall eat the labor of their hands. Well, normally, don't we think that our labor belongs to us anyway? I mean, does that really sound like such a blessing to you? Well, if it sounds like that it's really not much of a blessing that we get to eat the fruit of our own labors, isn't that what every man deserves? No. That's not what every man deserves. Every man deserves to have all of his labors taken away because he sinned against the Lord. Remember, it is of the Lord who gives you power to get wealth. Okay? So, a part of the blessing of fearing the Lord is eating of the labor of thine hands. And you know who knew that most, right? Solomon. Solomon speaks of that over and again in the book of Ecclesiastes. There's nothing sweeter for a laboring man than to enjoy the fruit of his labors. This too is a, what? Gift from God. It's not a dessert. It's not something that you deserve, in other words. Again, as we spoke last hour about the natural man will not receive these things. He thinks he's owed the fruits of his labor. We recognize that you know, and just think of this for a moment with me. It's not hard to understand once you sit out and pencil it out for a minute, right? Meditate on it. Okay, some of you work very hard. Those of you who work very hard, are there people that work less hard than you that are rewarded more than you?
Yeah.
That's true, isn't it? Are there those of you who work just a little bit, and every now and then just a little bit of work brings in a great big windfall? Yeah. Yeah. As we look around the landscape of laboring persons and the remuneration that they receive, we understand that there's no such thing as the direct correlation between our labor and the fruit of it, many times. What is the disconnect there? We have forgotten that it is the Lord that gives you power to get wealth. And He orders those things according to His own providence and what He's doing in the world. And we may never understand that, except to know that God is faithful and the good ends that He's working are true, good, and just in every way. So whenever we think, I deserve that, I worked really hard for it, let's remember, there are people that worked harder for less. That's always true. Okay? It is a gift from God to enjoy the fruit of your labor. So the way of happiness and peace is the way of obedience, the psalmist also writes. And then note that these blessings are, in an earlier day, thought to be more blessed than they are perhaps today. I was thinking about this. I read and heard a couple of things this week as I was looking at the news about the refugee difficulties that they're having in Europe right now. You know, lots of folks coming in from the Middle East, Muslim folks and others. And it's, you know, it's an interesting thing to think on, especially with all of the trouble that some of that refugee element has brought with it. I'm not saying that they're all, you know, that every one of the refugees are terrorists. They're obviously not. Some of them are simply hardworking people. Why would the leaders in Europe, with all that they've suffered, with all of the terrorism and difficulties that they've suffered with the refugee incursion, why would they continue to have open borders? And if you hear them talk about it under their breath, what they will say is, we don't have a workforce. We have not been having children. There's no one here to do the work. And so the refugee allowance that they are working in Europe right now is to replace their aging population that can no longer work. Why? Because the Lord has drawn away His blessing of children to them because they've turned away from Him. And the same is true in this country in many, many places. Notice, the blessing that is described here is, thy wife shall be a fruitful vine by the sides of thine house, thy children like olive plants around thy table. Olive plants were thought to be a sign of wealth and riches. What could you do with olive plants? You could pick the olives and, rightly treating them, parlay them into a lot of bucks. Some of the best commodity of the ancient Near East was olive oil. Just go down to any, not your typical grocery store, although that those kind of inroads are being made there as well, but go to something like Whole Foods or something. There are walls of olive oil. Walls of olive oil. Some of them less expensive, and some of them, this is olive gold. Woo, put that back down. Right? Okay. So children are said in the psalm to be like olive plants, bringing in riches. That's the kind of blessing. Now we, as Christians, and in large part Reformed Christians, conservative Christians, we might say, I don't know, you can bend that word around, I guess, but we do confess that children are a blessing, but let us be careful also not to imbibe in the secret temptation to think that they are burdensome as well. Because this is something that we may struggle with. Every responsibility, now listen to me carefully, every responsibility that comes with child rearing is salutary for the people of the Lord. Is child rearing hard? Perhaps some of the hardest things, maybe one of the hardest things you'll ever do. But every particular responsibility that the Lord brings with childbearing and child rearing is indeed salutary for the elect, for the people of God. The hardships, the difficulties, the trials, the pushing, the pressing, the perseverance that is necessary, the consistency that is necessary, all of those things and many more that I haven't mentioned, those things are good for you, parents. They are helpful and salutary to you. The Lord is working on your souls through them. And whenever we begin to think, I have too many children, I need a break from my children, this is not something I can do, so on and so forth, those are things where, again, the enemy of our souls has gotten the better of us, and we succumb to those temptations. We need to move beyond them. This is why the Apostle Paul can write in 1 Timothy chapter 2, speaking of women and childbearing, they shall be saved through childbearing. There's a salutary thing that takes place, not just on the ladies, but on the men too, as they rise up as faithful fathers. There is something salutary for the people of God in childbearing. That is why the Lord speaks of Himself as our Father, bringing up children to set that example before us. Okay? So, again, it's a common confession of many in, I'm going to use the phrase, although it can be misused, conservative Christian circles today, to say children are an unmitigated blessing. We hear that. We hear that phrase. And sometimes the profession doesn't match the heart of what we're saying there. Okay, but if we would get our minds around to that every particular affliction, hardship, difficulty, discipline, course that the Lord brings us through in childbearing and rearing, we would recognize that those things are indeed salutary. Okay? All right, so then the blessing comes out of Zion. And so this final blessing that we see, thou shalt see thy children's children. Now, may I say that just seeing your children's children is not a blessing. Okay? Unbelievers see that. What he's talking about is, thou shalt see thy children's children associated with Zion. Peace be upon Israel. That's what he's talking about there in Psalm 128. So we have a more domestic understanding in 128 than we had in 127, which was ecclesiastical. All right, Psalm 129 then. True to the Lord's providence, then, the psalmist turns his attention to those times when things are not blessed. Things are afflicting instead. The people of God have often been afflicted. And the terms that the psalmist uses here, he says, the plowers plowed on my back. They plowed upon my back. They cut deep furrows. The Lord is righteous, though. He has cut asunder the cords of the wicked. Well, again, we want to understand this in its right historical context and then also in its redemptive historical or prophetic context. The people of God have been afflicted over and again. We might think of Egypt and the affliction of God's people in Egypt. We might think of Babylon, the affliction in Babylon, and other times, the Assyrian invasion and so on. But there's a particular understanding here, I think, that pertains to Christ in that this is a faithful kind of affliction. This is not being afflicted for sins. This is being afflicted for our association with God Himself. And so this is a persecuting affliction. Not for our sins, but particularly with regard to persecution. Let all them be confounded then and turned back that hate Zion. Let them be as the grass upon the housetops, which withereth afore it groweth up. Well, grass upon housetops, what is that about? Okay, taking green roofs aside, okay, because the psalmist was not talking about green roofs. That's a modern invention, and it's not a bad thing. It's just not what's in view here. Normally, what they would do is to keep the rain out of their homes, they would have some kind of sheathing that they'd put on top of their rafters. They'd have boards like, you know, often like we do, and then they would dig up about this much dirt, and they'd put that on top of the roof. Sometimes it would be called thatching. And you can still see that in some places of the world today. And if it rains on that, there's dirt and grass there. Guess what? The grass grows. But it doesn't last very long because that earth is not very deep. It's more like a sod that has no earth underneath it. And so it may grow up and wither, grow up and wither. It may germinate and then wither very, very quickly. Perhaps like some things in our gardens from time to time. But what the psalmist is especially referencing here is that it doesn't last. It doesn't last. The persecutors of the people of God, they may spring up for a short time, but they will soon be withered as the grass, and they will not be able to be gathered into sheaves. That's the point that's being made. Okay? And then the final point is something that we hear. This is also a New Testament concept. And let us be clear, this is as antithetical as the Scriptures ever present. Do not bless them. Do not say to them, "The Lord bless you." We do not give our blessing to those who persecute the people of God. The way Samuel Rutherford says it is, we do not give our blessing to soul murderers. Right? And so John, in his epistles, what does he say? If there come any unto you and bring not this doctrine, do not receive him into your home. Do not bid him Godspeed. For those who bid him Godspeed are, well, what are the next words? Partakers of his evil deeds. Remember where our loyalties lie. Our loyalties lie with God and with his people. Our loyalties lie with them. All right, so that's Psalm 128 and 129. Let's stand and call upon the Lord in prayer.